Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words, and I'm delighted to have on as a guest for the first time today Ted Decker. And Mr. Decker will be discussing The Bone Man's Daughters, which has recently been published by Center Street Press, a division of Pachetti. And first of all, Ted, thanks so much for taking time out of an incredibly busy schedule to talk with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Casey.
Now, Ted, the Boneman's Daughters opens in Fallujah, and Commander Ryan, one of the protagonists, it's a very interesting, you kind of just throw the reader right into the situation on the ground there. There's a young man named Tony that he meets briefly, and I'm wondering, I really like the way you opened the novel, and what was your thinking when you started the book that way?
Well, you know, the whole book really is an exploration of the preciousness of each life, of how precious each life is. And I decided to choose a war setting because, you know, we over here in the United States hear so much about collateral damage. We hear about, you know, wiping out of villages. I've traveled extensively in the Mideast and talked to many mothers and fathers whose children have been killed. And, I mean, it's a deeply personal, terrifying experience for them on the ground.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a better, you know, the book ultimately is about a father whose daughter is taken.
Yes.
And to set that up, I said, you know, I thought to myself, what a better, you know, what better way could there be than to have a person set into this scenario that we're remotely familiar with. I mean, it's just, you know, it's across the world. It's in, like you said, it's in Iraq, and he himself is taken and gained in this. Terrorist plays this game with him, where in order to save these children he's kidnapped, he must give up the identity and location of his own child.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point is to try to personalize, the life of each child, so that
yes.
they're not just statistics on a sheet.
It yes.
becomes very, 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 very personal to Captain Ryan himself.
Yes. You know, Ted, I was looking at the headlines today, and I thought that's where you were going when I read that part of the book. And one of the headlines in the paper today was 33 killed in Abu Ghraib, and one of the citizens over there said no one values the victims anymore.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. It really is a tragedy. It really, the only way to help me and you and the readers identify with that is to actually put them in a situation with the protagonist. You know, readers take the journey with the protagonist
mm-hmm.
to where they feel that horror, that tragedy that comes with the loss of a life
mm-hmm.
and to personalize it. And
mm-hmm.
so I start off, you know, chapter one, personalizing it.
Mm-hmm. And then chapter two, you introduce Bethany Evans, Commander Ryan's, Commander Ryan Evans' daughter. And I really like that there's kind of a sharp juxtaposition that you take
yeah.
there, where now you bring us back to the United States with a teenage girl dealing with things that they deal with.
Right.
And there's just that sharp contrast of how different her life is. But I like that as well, the conflict between the mother and the daughter that you bring in chapter two.
Well, you know, I mean, this is part of the personalization. I mean, as long as I'm just talking about Iraq or just talking about children over there, it means still little to the reader. But then as soon as you introduce a real flesh and blood, character here in the United States, someone that we can identify with,
mm-hmm.
you know, a rebellious teenager in this case, or somewhat, not necessarily rebellious, but estranged from her father,
mm-hmm.
You know, it suddenly becomes very real to all of us. This, you know, I'll share something here, and I got permission from my own daughter, who's now 22,
okay.
to share this. But there was a time in her life when she was about 17, actually just turned 18, where she took off with this guy.
Okay.
And, I mean, this guy was bad from day one. I deeply disliked this fellow because because of the way he treated her.
Mm-hmm.
But she was totally in love, you know, and I'm sure many, many parents can relate to that.
Sure.
And I wanted to throttle the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that this guy was the kind of person who would ultimately be abusive.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, went her way, and she moved in with the guy, and ultimately, within a period of, you know, a few weeks, 6 weeks, was just, you know, devastated by her experience with him, and he turned out to be someone who was very abusive. And during that time, the feelings that went through my mind, I mean, the anger that went through my own mind towards this person who threatened my own daughter was startling. It was crushing.
Mm-hmm.
It was very revealing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how far would I go to protect my daughter from a monster? I mean, that's the way I saw it. That's
sure.
How, you know, that's just the way I saw it.
Sure.
And so, in a way, this book, this entire book, is kind of a reflection of that experience.
Mm-hmm. Born of that
precious,
passion.
Yes, the passion, exactly. How precious are, each one of our children?
Yes.
How precious are the children? And
yes.
To what extent will we go to protect them and to save them from, from harm's way?
Mm-hmm. And it, when you read the Bowman's Daughters, you can focus on the violence and you can focus on that kind of thing. But the more I read it, Ted, the more I realized it was a love story.
Mm-hmm. That is. I'm so glad to hear you say that because it absolutely is.
It absolutely is. A lot of times we think of, particularly over in Iraq, we think of the recruits that are over there that have, that have making sacrifices, but we don't think of the career officers that have been doing this since Vietnam.
Mm.
And, how they have at some point in time to defend their countries have deserted their families in some cases and been very honorable people. And what a moral dilemma that must be. And that's what I liked about Ryan Evans is when he realizes what was really important in his life.
Yeah, I mean, life is always full of compromises and trade-offs, and protect certain freedoms there's great costs, and it's kind of a juggling act that we play as parents in particular. People face trade-offs every day, but when it comes right down to it, what is the most precious? And what does it mean to love those who are nearest to us?
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, a father and a daughter. And what's really, I think, what makes this so personal for me and for, I think, many readers will be the fact that here you have a father. Because when Ryan Evans comes back to the United States, he discovers that his own daughter, Bethany, who now we know because I've introduced her in her own little subplot, she becomes the victim of this vicious serial killer in Texas who's taken seven or six young women. His whole objective, this demented serial killer who's delusional, he's looking for the perfect daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And in looking for the perfect daughter, he wants to be the perfect father. Of course, this comes from his own history, his own childhood. But he takes these women, and when they fail to meet his expectations, And that doesn't mean doing what he wants them to do, but just not living up to his idea of the perfect daughter.
Right.
He kills them, and he does it in a unique way. He kills them and leaves them dead. And Bethany becomes his latest victim. The problem is Bethany and her father Ryan, the captain who we've been talking about, are really at odds and completely estranged from each other. So we have, in a sense, a father who's lost his daughter's love and a daughter who feels like she's lost her father's love.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, irreconcilable differences.
Yes.
But then, when this incident happens, suddenly the daughter desperately needs her father because he's her only hope.
Mm-hmm.
And the father desperately wants to save the daughter. And this is much, much easier said than done.
Sure.
And it will take both to their limits. But it really is a love story between the two.
Yeah, and then Celine, the mother, who is I like the narcissism that she has in her relationship with Burton Welsh and how you weave that into the plot and we're not going to give any of the twists and turns of the novel away. Listeners know we don't do that, but there's some really, really cool twists and turns during the book. I think that, and I hope you take this as a compliment, as I was reading this, there was kind of a Jack Bauerish quality to Ryan Evans.
Well, I mean, he is, he did spend quite a bit of time in Iraq, and he's very familiar with the use of force. The problem is it's being used against him, so it's kind of he's put in a very difficult position. But now that you say it, you know what, I have watched 24, and yeah. Jack does have in 24. Jack Bauer does have several. I mean, his daughter does play a part in several.
Well, I was thinking really kind of some of the creative ways and the lengths that he will go once he decides
yeah.
he's going to get to accomplish his mission.
Yeah.
I think anybody that enjoys that show would really enjoy this book because I found myself at times saying, okay, now how's he going to get out of this one?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the way I write, really, is I write to discover.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not just telling a story by any stretch of the imagination. I put my characters into situations that either terrify me or challenge me mentally and intellectually, and then I let them work their way out of it, or sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing is that, you know, with my novels, you really don't know what's going to happen because, you know, in the past, so many people that have, you know, that readers have you know, come to like haven't made it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like happy endings, but getting there is not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very real life stuff.
Now, Ted, this is, like I mentioned, this is the first book that you've done with Center Street Hachette. First of all, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And what are you happiest about with the relationship you have with them going forward now with the Bowman's daughters and going forward? What are you happiest with about this book and the direction you're going in?
Well, you know, working with Hachette gives me the opportunity to write the kinds of gritty novels that you know that I've written in the past, but not. Maybe not quite with the same flavor as Bowman's Daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And moving forward, that's exactly what they want from me. Probably my first, I have a large audience of people that really like my gritty novels. I have two kinds of novels I write. One is fantasy, and I have a large following with fantasy readers,
mm-hmm.
and then with Black, Red, and White, etc. And then I have these standalone serial killer novels,
mm-hmm.
or thrillers. And they're quite intense, and they're quite and sometimes quite violent because of the nature of the bad guys that I put in them. I mean, the antagonists are disturbing people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think one Hachette has proven to be, you know, the consummate professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic team up there. It went from Dave down to Martha. I mean, my editorial staff. I mean, they've worked very, very well with me, and they really love what I'm doing with these books. That, I tell you, is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thing to me. So I'm just finishing up now another novel with them. Very, very different, and it's about the mentally ill. But again, it's a serial killer novel.
Okay. Now, Ted, in the for longtime listeners to the show, to let them know if you go into a Barnes & Noble or Borders. A lot of times they carry your novels in the religious fiction section of the bookstore. Is the Bowman's Daughters, will that be continue to be in the religious fiction section, or could this possibly be found in the general fiction? Would you say?
Yeah, no. Right now it'll be in the general fiction. You
okay.
won't find it in the religion. Actually, Adam, my last novel, which is another serial killer novel, is in the general fiction.
Is in the general fiction as well. Okay.
Yeah, so this will be the second novel. In the general fiction, and I'll just have a whole line of novels that'll be in just general fiction.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful.
And, you know, but speaking of the religious fiction, I started my career writing religious fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't like calling it religious fiction.
No, I understand. I teach at a Christian school, so I know.
Yeah, I don't quite get what religious fiction is, but
right.
it does explore man's relationship with himself and with supernatural elements and with God, and ask some, you know, a lot of my books, my earlier books in particular, or actually all of my books do explore those things, those questions,
mm-hmm.
of questions of meaning, and I think they're very appropriate, and they have a large following. In one sense, Bowman's Daughters does exactly the same thing, only
mm-hmm.
in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think there's some subtlety there that your long-term fans will read and enjoy.
The long-term fans. They will. I mean, they're actually used to my subtlety because I'm known. I'm an anomaly in religious fiction.
Yes, you are
already. People, people, you know, I don't know how many bookstore owners I've talked to who just don't quite know what to know if, know what to do with some of my earlier novels, because they're not like any other religious fiction at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, they're all a little bit darker, more gritty,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. But I've built up a very large group of, especially younger readers,
yes.
In college age,
yes.
You know, who are really thirsty and hungry for mm-hmm. books that have meaning to them.
Yes.
And ask hard questions.
And Ted, being a person who, this is my first full year teaching, and I've been around writing all my life, you had an interesting career, and you wrote a memoir about your upbringing, and we won't, if people are interested, like, you know, they can purchase your memoir and read and find out a lot more about you. Do you sit back sometimes and just kind of pinch yourself about the success you've had? And I mean, you've certainly worked hard at it, and it's well deserved, but really your audience is growing by leaps and bounds, and this must be an exciting time for you.
Yeah, I mean, I pinch myself every day.
Yeah.
I've been pinching myself for the last, let's see, how long have I been, it's been over a decade now.
But, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I've just kept my head down, tried mm-hmm. to ignore voices that distract me, and there's plenty of them when you're a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think the reason why my audience continues to grow is because I'm very authentic to myself, and
mm-hmm.
I write about things that help me explore the world and my relationship with it, and good and evil, and morality in some cases. But then also love is something that just fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
It is a love story. I mean, it's just such a powerful emotion. It's such a powerful thing in our lives, and you know, it's so little understood. So I love stories. They're irresistible to people,
mm-hmm.
and they're irresistible to me. So anyway, I find myself writing these stories to gain understanding myself. And as long as that exploration is truly authentic, and
mm-hmm.
I've never written a, you know, a issue-driven book in my life
mm-hmm.
That's preachy, or I just that doesn't interest me at all.
Right.
There's no exploration there. I mean,
right.
You know, you got to think. A writer like myself, I spend 6 months at least, you know, writing a novel,
mm-hmm.
and that's every day.
Yes.
So that whatever I'm writing better be pretty interesting, or I'm going to grow bored stiff.
Exactly.
You know, a reader takes what, 6 hours?
Yes.
6 months.
Right.
To live with the same story. And I do get bored easily. So I need the twists and the turns. I need a fast-paced story to keep me really interested.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really, like I say, I've read your other work as well, and I do like the edginess to it, and I do like the risks you take. And I'm really happy for you with The Bowman's Daughter. I think it's going to be a real winner for you. And I really appreciate you appearing on the show today. And I'd like to put you on the list of when the next one comes out. We work in the rotation and get caught up with you when the next one comes out.
Oh, that'd be a real pleasure. It'd be an honor. I appreciate it, Casey.
Great. Okay, Ted. Well, congratulations with The Bowman's Daughters. And it will be coming out. Let's tell everybody what date is coming out.
Yeah, April 14th.
April 14th. And then you will begin an extensive tour, really a worldwide tour, so people will get a chance. And your website, which is teddeckerwith2ks.com, is an excellent source of information. And you were telling me you have a very active community on your website.
Yeah, we have like 40,000 members of the Circle, which is like a fan club. But you know, with Bowman's Daughters, we're launching this really cool interactive audiovisual experience. I don't think it's ever been done at teddecker.com to introduce people to the book that launches in a couple weeks. Well, actually, it launches a couple weeks before the book comes out. So, if your listeners can go there now, it's quite cool. It's audiovisual narrative experience. So,
excellent. Well, I'll put a reference to that on the homepage, and like I said, we'll get links established. And it's been an honor talking to you, Ted. Congratulations, and I look forward to talking to you here in another 5 or 6 months.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Casey.
Okay, take care, Ted.
Bye-bye.
Bye.